former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, an obvious Donald Trump supporter. Donald Trump just gave an interview to CNBC where he touched on some of his feelings about ISIS and the connections to President Obama and Hillary Clinton. Here's what he said.
He was the founder, absolutely the founder. In fact, he gets the, in sports they have awards, he gets the most valuable player award, him and Hillary. I mean, she gets it too. I gave them co-founder, if you really looked at the speech, if I think you probably did. But he and Hillary get the most valuable player award having to do with Iraq and having to do with the ISIS situation, or as he would call it, ISIL. He calls it ISIL because nobody else does and probably wants to bother people by using a different term and whether it's more accurate or not.
With all the legitimate angles of attack on the current state of play with ISIS in the United States, why go the route of saying that President Barack Hussein Obama, as Trump likes to remind people, founded ISIS? He didn't found ISIS. And then he says ISIS honors Obama. ISIS doesn't honor Obama. Why say those things?
Well, first of all, I think what he's saying there is legitimate political commentary, legitimate political...
But it's not true.
Well, it is true in the sense that before Obama, ISIS was a almost unknown small little organization. He even called it the JV. Totally wrong. And here's why it happened. Because he withdrew the troops from Iraq. General Petraeus had secured the eastern part of Iraq. It wasn't in turmoil. It wasn't in revolution. And it wasn't breeding terrorists. He had gotten the support of the Sunni tribes. When we pulled out, and the Obama administration and our Secretary of State were unable to get a security of forces agreement for our troops, that's when ISIS formed.
That's a legitimate argument to make.
So,
but he doesn't make that argument.
Well, yes, he
says the guy's a founder.
Well, that's what he means.
He doesn't make
it.
A legitimate argument about the Second Amendment. He says, you know, oh, maybe you guys can go and do something. He makes a joke that winds up becoming the story.
It wasn't a joke. I was with him. It wasn't a joke.
You're not saying he had serious intentions about encouraging Second Amendment people to do something bad.
Of course not. No more than Hillary Clinton had 8 years ago when she said she was going to stay in the race because, remember, Kennedy was assassinated.
You know what she did after she said that? She apologized.
Well, because she was wrong.
Why didn't he apologize?
Because he wasn't wrong.
How was he not wrong? To encourage people with the Second Amendment, which means they have guns, that maybe you can do something?
Chris. He didn't encourage them to do that. He was saying, don't vote for her. It's the Clinton spin machine who
part of the Clinton spin machine.
Well,
I don't know that.
But you accepted it.
No, here's what I accept.
You're accepting.
The context I accept. He didn't say during the election. He says, if she picks the judges, it's over, you can't do anything. Well, maybe you can. That's after she's elected.
You only
pick judges if you're president.
Okay, well,
that's not about voting.
Let's play lawyer and plain language interpretation. Well, maybe you can be a reflection on the thought you had before, which is,
Come on, you know what the problem is. Why have to explain what comes out of a man's mouth every 2 seconds?
Because I'm going to tell you, because you don't give him a fair shot. You take his words and you parse them and you take them apart. I was on the plane with him when they called him and they said, to him, they're accusing you of saying kill Hillary Clinton. He said, what? I didn't say that. He didn't say that.
You're right.
He said, I never said he did. He said, don't vote for her.
He said something clumsy that was open to misinterpretation.
If you want to misinterpret it.
But the guy behind him didn't get the message. The guy behind him
had actually stroked his chin even before he said it. I went and looked at the tape five times.
I looked at it, too. He also looks at his wife, and he makes a face where he goes, can you believe he said that?
Yeah. How about he could have said, you don't know what he said. How about he said, oh, wow, we could go vote. That is what Donald Trump
said. He did not say that. He did an interview on CNN yesterday where he said, I can't believe he said it. Let's play what Trump said for everybody else, because you're right. It shouldn't be a legal argument between us. You're going to win every time. Here's what Trump said.
It's really outrageous.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
Could mean you can vote against her. That is exactly what he meant. That is exactly what he meant.
It was open to interpretation.
If you want to accept the Hillary Clinton, the first people to put it out, because we got it from them, the first people to put it out, I got a call on the phone, was from the Hillary Clinton spin machine. And then all of you jumped on it, and it was the biggest story yesterday.
First of all, I don't think that he was inciting violence, but it's part of a pattern. But he does this
no, it's
all
part of your
the
pattern.
Time. No, it's
part
his
of the
pattern.
Press's
I
pattern.
Don't control what comes out of his mouth. The man has blacklisted me. He won't come on this show because he doesn't like answering questions about what he says.
Chris, it's a pattern of the press exaggerating what he says. And yesterday we get emails that demonstrate what I've been saying for 4 months, that the Clinton Foundation is a fraud. The Clinton Foundation, to me, is a racketeering enterprise. And the State Department was a pay-for-play organization.
The 44 emails that came out, we have covered here.
The allegations?
Just as much as anything else. We're covering it. Well, doesn't mean this didn't happen.
So why isn't she being investigated? De Blasio is being investigated in New York City for pay-for-play.
I don't control who's investigated. My job is to cover it.
Well, we're covering for the third day.
No, but he says the media is doing this to me. The media is rigged. Do you think my coverage is rigged?
No, I don't think yours is, but I think a lot of coverage is rigged.
How is it rigged? This comes out of his mouth, and you have to apologize for it.
I have not apologized. I said he said...
You come here and explain it. Well, could have meant this.
No, I didn't say could have meant that. I'm telling you, he didn't say words of violence.
He didn't say go out and vote either, did he?
No. Okay, but you say things in a lot of different ways in politics. You talk, you know, for 100 hours, so you say things a lot of ways. I was a lawyer. I argued in court. Sometimes when I wanted to make a point, I might say somebody is the founder of something when the guy is the person who helped to enable it.
You had trouble with the media when you were mayor. Sometimes you kept people out of press conferences. You never said the things that he does. You've never said things in front of a crowd that had them start chanting, lock them up, about the media.
For which?
Calling reporters liars when he knows it's not true.
For which he steps back and says, Peter. Did it at the convention?
Yeah, that's the only time. Katie Tour from NBC had to be escorted to her car by Secret Service because the crowd turned on her because he pointed at her and said, she's a liar. Remember that. She's a liar. President of the United States.
Look, the coverage is not fair. If you can't see that, I can't help you see
it. No politician likes the media. Says that the media is fair to them.
Nobody,
that's how you know you're doing your job.
Nobody brought up Hillary's comments about Bobby Kennedy. Nobody.
What are you talking about?
All over the place. Not 3 days, front page of the newspaper. The front page of the Times yesterday didn't have the pay-for-play scandal. The front page of the New York Times had 3 articles on Donald Trump, all negative, and nothing.
Every outlet is different. I don't work for the New York Times. We have been covering it consistently.
And New York Times failed to point out in any kind of highlighted way the fact that a terrorist and the father of a terrorist was sitting behind Hillary Clinton, and they failed to ask the question, what attracted him to her? What attracted that Taliban supporter?
What attracted Mark Foley to Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know, but...
But I'm saying...
Lots of questions were asked about that, and lots of questions...
Not as many as ever were asked about the Orlando father.
He was asked about Duke, about David Duke, who he's never met.
You don't think that's a legitimate question?
Hillary hasn't been asked about the father yet. Hillary doesn't.
That's not true. They've been all over the campaign asking.
Her answer was thank you. Her answer was thank you.
No, you just said, Rudy, you just said she hasn't been asked. The answer is that's wrong. She has been asked. You know what I'm saying? I understand why you support him. I get it. But you apologize and defend
I am not
for him.
Chris.
And I think it's putting you in an awkward situation.
It is not for me.
You're right. You don't apologize. Maybe you should. That would just make it go away.
No, I'm not apologizing.
Might be a more honorable thing to do.
It wouldn't be the more honorable thing for me to lie. What he meant was...
Well, if you're saying it's on the media, that's not lying, but it's also not accurate, right? I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's lying.
Yes, the media, impression,
but it's wrong.
Media took words that were not violent words, and the media interpreted them as violent words. Those words are not violent
words. Not just the media. Other people interpreted them that way. And why? Because of the pattern. Because of the pattern. This is what the man does. He says things that are either casual or hyperbolic to impress a crowd.
Hillary Clinton.
And then they go too far, and he refuses to apologize and blames the media. It's happened at least 10 times that I could name right off the top of my head.
Hillary Clinton is trying to paint a demonic picture of Donald Trump because, on the record, she can't get elected because she was engaged in significant criminal activity. The emails we know about, I think
she's beating him in the polls, some would suggest, exactly because of this behavior. That he should be winning right now based on the mood of the country, but for his own temperament and actions of what comes out of his mouth.
I have to tell you, whatever the past was with Donald Trump and whatever he said in the past, that day, what he was talking about was voting. And what the Clinton machine and the media turned it into was violence. He didn't say words of violence.
True. Well, you know what you would have said if I asked you this question? If I had said to you, you know what the suggestion is that you thought this? You know what you would have said? God forbid. I would never suggest that to people. I don't want anybody to do anything violent to anyone, let alone to Hillary Clinton. Wait. I don't want anybody to believe that. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry if someone took it that way. Let's move on. That's what you would say. Why doesn't he say that?
People are different. They can say different things. He said he told the truth.
But it comes across like he enjoys, or he thinks he benefits from the anger.
He wasn't trying to create anger. In one way, he was. He was trying to create a feeling among Second Amendment people, you got to keep her out of office, because if she puts the justice on the court, they reverse Heller. The private right to bear arms
is taken away. She's actually said she doesn't want to reverse Heller. And?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I believe that just as much as I believe she was in favor of the XL pipeline, and now she's against the XL pipeline. I would bet you anything you want that she puts a Supreme Court justice on there.
He said she wants to abolish the Second Amendment. We both know that is impossible.
What he means by that is she wants to interpret it in a way that abolishes it.
So is this, if he wins, if he becomes president of the United States, is that going to be your position, is that he goes out, he'll say things, and then you'll come on and say what he actually meant? What, I mean, isn't that part of the job, is knowing how to use language in a way that doesn't confuse everybody?
That doesn't confuse anyone. She will effectively abolish the Second Amendment. If you reverse Heller, you effectively abolish the Second Amendment.
She says she doesn't think Heller should be reversed.
And I think if anybody believes that, I told you, they believe that she legitimately changed her mind over the XL pipeline.
But what does one have to do with the other?
What it has to do with it is that nobody covers her in the same way that he is covered. Her flip-flop on the XL pipeline got one story, one time, not 3 days of coverage.
Who says more things that confound reason? Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
On a regular basis?
On a regular basis.
Tapes come out of the man obviously playing his own PR machine. He says it's not me.
No.
The Star of David thing comes out. He says it's a sheriff's star. Why not just own things, say they're a mistake, move on?
Some things he has said were a mistake.
What?
Tell me one thing he's apologized for. He said that he has said that it was a mistake, the things that he said about John McCain. He said that John McCain was a hero. He should have acknowledged that. He should have acknowledged his heroism and his public service. He did it 5 months ago, he did it 2 months ago, and he did it a week ago.
That's the one example you have? I don't remember him saying, by the way, and we'll check. I don't remember him saying, I apologize for what I said about John McCain.
I don't remember him saying I apologize. I do remember him saying,
but what does that tell you, though? Wouldn't you, if you said something so insulting about a veteran?
I might say it's a mistake.
You wouldn't apologize. You say, I like
maybe
guys I who would. Don't get caught. Maybe. You wouldn't apologize if you said that? I don't know that you would ever say that. But.
Maybe I would if that were the proper circumstance. But you asked me, where is the time where he owned up to a mistake? He owned up to a mistake.
But all the times that he doesn't, what does that mean to you? Why doesn't he do it? All these situations would go away. He won't come on. He won't come on the show.
He won't come on because, honestly, this is, I know, you keep saying this over and over again, and the press gets so upset and very defensive. Your coverage, I don't mean you, I mean the press's coverage of him is so unfair compared to the press's coverage of the pay-for-play Secretary of State who revealed emails that put the national security of this country in jeopardy. That is a massive scandal huge proportions.
I'm not disagreeing with you about the need to cover it.
Rather than fighting over language and what language
means. Look, by the way, I think that you're in terms of the strategy here. That's why I'm asking you about the strategy.
Let me try.
Talking about the emails. Instead, he's defending what comes out of his own mouth because he won't just own it.
Okay. Let's try one other way. What he said was certainly not criminal. What she did with the Clinton Foundation and all the favors the State Department did for hundreds of millions of dollars is, to me, a clear violation of the conflict of interest law. And I'd be investigating it right now as a racketeering enterprise, as I did a lot of Wall Street people.
We'll cover it.
I'm the person who help to contribute to
the book. We cover it now, and we would cover an investigation. But there is no investigation.
Yeah, but there are allegations coming out day after day, email after email.
And we cover them. Many often they come out of this outlet.
Not with the same vigor, not with the same tremendous emphasis, not with the same amount of time that you spend
But what the thing is also matters.
Why not accept his explanation?
He didn't give one.
Yes, he did.
No, he said the media is rigged. They twisted my words. This is terrible. They're terrible.
No, he didn't. And he said, and this is what I meant. What I meant was they should vote against her. That's right. What he meant.
But that's just not
I
what he
saw
said.
Him. But he did say that. He said, I meant they should vote against her.
No, he said, I meant they should vote against her. He didn't say, go vote against her. He said something that was open to interpretation. That's what started all of this latest
round. Everything I say is open to interpretation. Any words I use, you can't say.
That's why you have to pick your words carefully, which you did as an elected leader, because people are going to parse them. And if you're president of the United States, they're going to do it more than anyone in the world.
So what's wrong with those words? What's wrong with those words? You can do something about it. If you assume that the man is not there talking about violence. He used no words of violence.
True, but in the pattern of the things that he said before, it raises a question.
Okay.
It raises a question. Okay. It just does.
I'm asking.
His decision on another front, the taxes. Are the taxes a big deal? No. But his decision to not release them now becomes a big deal because his argument about Hillary on one level is what? Transparency. You can't trust her. She's not going to be open with you. It's hard for him to make a compelling case when he's doing the same thing with his taxes. Why don't you advise him to just release the taxes and make it go away?
Whatever I advise him is between him and me.
True.
Okay.
But it's a question.
Okay. That's a personal decision. Given all the things that she's hidden, given all the things that she's destroyed, the fact that he's not releasing his taxes.
How's it make him better?
When you have a financial disclosure form, which describes a great deal of his holdings.
Except the financial disclosure form rewards exaggeration.
I grant you it's an issue, but it is nothing in comparison to the 35,000 emails that she destroyed.
Yeah, except we had a dozen different official investigations of that issue, right? It's not like we ignored the email situation, right? She gave 11 hours of open testimony on it. So it's not like nobody knows anything about it.
And her husband sat down inappropriately with the Attorney General of the United States 3 days before
it. It never got to her. The head of the FBI, who you know and respect, came out and said, I don't see a case to be made here. She was extremely careless.
No, he didn't say I don't see a case to be made here.
Of course he did. Otherwise, he would have referred a case.
First of all, it's not his job to make a determination about whether
that was his conclusion.
His conclusion was she lied on a number of occasions. His conclusion was that she was extremely careless in the use of national security
information. Right, but he didn't see a case of a crime.
And extremely careless means grossly negligent, which violates the law.
But then he would have referred the case for prosecution, but he didn't.
As his former boss, I believe Jim Comey, reading of the law, is completely wrong. I think it is highly suspicious that on the day that he said that, Bill Clinton was on an airplane with Hillary Clinton. I cannot believe.
You think James Comey was compromised in this situation?
I don't know who was compromised.
But you know him very well. That's a very heavy allegation.
I'm not saying James Comey was compromised. He might have told the Attorney General or the Deputy Attorney General. I don't know who he told.
Told them what?
His decision. Chris, you know politics. Are they going to put Clinton on the same plane with the President of the United States on the very day that the director of the FBI is going to give his report on this, if they think he's going to say indicted?
Who's they? The Justice Department.
The White House
didn't put Clinton on the plane with the Attorney General. Clinton made that happen.
No, you're not getting my point. And maybe that was inappropriate. You're not getting my point. On the day that James Comey made his decision, the President of the United States was going to appear with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
If the White House knew that there was the possibility that there was going to be an indictment, the president wouldn't be there. I worked in the White House.
How does that undermine the confidence in Comey's decision?
It means there was a leak of it.
Even if you're right, so what?
Well, you shouldn't leak it.
But that doesn't mean that his judgment was impaired. I'm saying, do you think Comey made a call that was influenced by somebody else? Yes or no?
I don't know the answer to that, so I can't make the charge. I believe he made a grossly
But he made a call
wrong,
that there was no crime.
Which is
And he looked at it for a year, he had his guys looking at it.
Yeah, which he shouldn't have been looking at for a year. It should have taken about 3 months. But in any event
But I'm saying, if anything, he erred on the side of caution. I don't understand why you're trying to undermine the confidence in the man's decision.
I do undermine the confidence in his decision. I disagree with his decision.
Well, you can disagree with it, but it doesn't mean that he made it for bad reasons.
I think his decision was an embarrassment to the FBI.
But I'm saying that kind. But there's two different things. You can say he got it wrong. Fine. But if you say, and why did he get it wrong? Now you're going down a path of speculation that undermines the confidence in a system that is a very dangerous thing to do if you don't have any proof.
Well, I'm not. I believe his decision
was wrong.
Grossly inadequate.
Okay, but fine. But that's your opinion.
Very
wrong.
You
don't think he made a decision for bad reason. You don't have any proof of that.
I have no proof of that.
That's the question.
I'm not suggesting he made it for bad reasons.
Because it sounded like you were. That's why I'm making you clarify.
Well, I'll clarify it. I believe the decision was so wrong, I cannot understand how he came to that conclusion. I don't believe he did it for bad reasons because he's a good man. But the decision perplexes me. It perplexes Jim Kallstrom, who worked for him. It perplexes numerous FBI agents who talk to me all the time. And it embarrasses some FBI agents. So I can tell you all that. Why he made it that way, I can't tell you.
That's right. And that's where it should be left. That's not what Trump says.
He laid out a case.
Trump says, it was the, there was something wrong there.
You read that report until the last two pages. He laid out a case for a perfect prosecution under a statute that has a grossly negligent standard and 5 years in jail.
And as you well know, and again, everybody should know this about you, that you were a prosecutor and you were a very good one, federal prosecutor. That statute is almost never used. And when it is, they always look to show intent. They go way beyond
gross negligence. As far as I can tell, in the research you're able to do of cases that are declined and not done.
Right.
That statute, there's never been a violation of it at the level at which she violated. Her violation was incredible, meaning thousands and thousands and thousands.
I'm not, none of that can be denied. What I'm saying, at the end of the day, the guy looked at it and he said it wasn't a crime.
And under similar statutes for which she could have been prosecuted, people have been prosecuted.
When they've been able to show that they either lied to the FBI or that they knowingly did what is
specified. She did lie.
No.
She lied to the public.
But not to the FBI. And one is a crime, but one is a crime. I'm taking it as your opinion.
Yeah. One is a crime,
one is not a crime.
But it's evidence of intent. A lying to the public is evidence of intent, by the way.
But you would have to lie to the FBI to trigger the statute.
Look, yes.
I know that we're in the weeds, but what I'm trying to say is...
Not to trigger that statute.
What I'm trying to say is that you have to be careful about what you insinuate about these situations. Trump does that a lot. It undermines confidence in him, which is why, by the way, you get this open letter of the 50 national security experts from the GOP who come out and say, this guy can't be president. And you kind of brush it aside and say they have it wrong. You got Mike Chertoff on there. You got Tom Ridge on there. These are men that you know and respect very much. And you just brush aside their assessment?
Why? I believe they're wrong. They don't know Trump the way I know Trump. They don't realize and understand what Trump can do for the country that Hillary Clinton cannot do. They're not assessing properly how Hillary Clinton will appoint a Supreme Court that will destroy a lot of the rights that we have and make the next president, should he be...
Well, they're talking about national...
Very, very difficult.
They're talking about national
and
security. They're talking about foreign affairs.
But how
do they not know? What do you know that they don't?
I know them a lot better than they do. And I also assess, maybe more strongly, the fact that I don't want a president who has been grossly negligent with the handling of national security. I think that is a lot more serious than all these little arguments we're having about what Trump meant about this, what Trump meant about that. And by the way, I have put people in jail for handling national security information improperly. People that did far less than she did. And I have done cases that are 10% of what she did with the Clinton Foundation.
But it went through the system, and that's it now.
No, that isn't it. I can still draw my conclusion that she's
crooked. Of course you can, but I'm saying that in terms of the idea that there's something more there, it is what it is. They went through it. They did the investigation. Comey had his finding. You had 11 hours of testimony.
And now it's baked in for voters.
So that's it. 27% of people think she's telling the truth about it. It sunk into people.
Worst case for both. You get a choice between a Secretary of State who was grossly negligent in handling national security, and a president who says things that you find ambiguous and...
No, that's not the proposition. And here's why. You're right. I'll give you the one part of the equation, okay? And that's as your opinion. I'm not saying it's accurate. I'm saying that's
your opinion. No. That's not my opinion. That's what Comey said. Comey said she was grossly...
Extremely careless.
If we want to use...
Extremely careless.
Which is a legal definition of gross negligence.
No, it would be an extrapolation. I think he picked those words on purpose to not echo what's in the statute.
Go read the cases and the definition of gross negligence. It's extremely careless is one of the four definitions.
Be that as it may, what's on the other side of the scales, not of justice in this case, but of presidential politics.
Comey knows what I said. Jim knows that the definition of gross negligence, because he sat through enough trials in which gross negligence has been defined.
It came up as soon as he used the words. I get it. The end of this, the conclusion is, though, he didn't see a case to bring forward. On the other side of the scale, though, is Donald Trump, who not once, not twice, but many, many times, undermines confidence in his ability to send across a clear message that is not inherently hostile or divisive. The man welcomes chance of lock them up about the entire media. Do you think that is healthy for a democracy to have a president of the United States that encourages people to turn on its media?
First of all,
would you do that?
If you treated me the way you're treating him, you're darn right I would, and I did. When you think I was treated fairly as a Republican mayor in New York City?
I think no politician thinks that they are treated fairly.
You treat Republicans differently than you treat Democrats. You can't live up to it, and you do. You do. It's true. It's just the truth. It's been true since Goldwater.
It is your truth.
I know. You think it's my truth. It's absolutely true. And as the Republican mayor of New York City, I knew I had to overperform. I knew the New York Times would, if I raise my voice this much, would say, Mayor storms out of conference.
Pop said the same thing, that they would call him a hot-headed Italian whenever he said anything. He had to keep his temper down, and he was no Republican.
That's true.
And he was no Republican, right? I get why politicians don't like the media.
Not that your dad was hot-headed. It is true that Democrats get bad coverage, but you look at any objective analysis, the negative coverage of Republicans is about 3-1 to the coverage of Democrats.
I don't know where that number comes
from studies.
I'm only responsible for what I do. Let me ask you one more other question. I don't want to have a media debate.
I'm on your show.
I know.
Because you're a fair man.
I know, and I respect that.
I don't think that the overwhelming majority
of
your profession is fair.
I get what you feel. I'm just saying it's not worth our time right now. Let me ask you
one other thing.
No, it isn't, because I can't have a media-ranging conversation. There's so many different outlets. Different people with different agendas.
The American people have to make their own decision about this, uninfluenced by a media that is substantially biased against Donald Trump.
Not all media is the same, and I will say this to you
again. And I'm not talking about you.
Donald Trump causes his own coverage cycles by what comes out of his mouth. We do not have to hunt for situations.
Well, you did in this one.
He presents them. Because of an established pattern of him and an inability to ever apologize for anything that he says.
Okay. If we grant all that is true, right, I'll take that over an attorney general.
That's your decision. That's the voter's decision.
I'm asking about me.
True.
My decision. I would take that over a secretary of state who is extremely careless about the use of national security information on thousands of occasions, against a secretary of state who turned the State Department into a pay-for-play organization.
That's your interpretation.
Well, you're asking my view.
I know.
You're asking
to clarify for the, because you're very compelling, so I want to just clarify it for my audience.
Well, why do you have to clarify?
Because there is no finding that she turned the State Department into a pay-for-play organization. You have emails out there right now that suggest that people from the foundation were talking to people in the State Department about meetings and trying to find jobs for people.
How about a meeting for a guy with the American ambassador to Lebanon, and the guy is a convicted money launderer, and he makes a $1 to $5 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation.
They asked for it. The ambassador says the meeting never happened. Let me ask you about something else. The debates, you're going to negotiate for Trump. I would have thought that Trump would jump at the chance to have as many debates with Clinton as possible. Doesn't seem like that. He came up with this story about the NFL saying they were unhappy with some letter that never existed.
Donald Trump is going to participate in all three debates, and the negotiations are going to be about, as they always are and have always been, about how we do it.
So he'll do all three. These stories about he's going to only do one, or you don't buy it.
He's going to do all three debates. The negotiations, which the federal commission has always allowed between the candidates,
absolutely,
is going to happen about, you know, I don't know, how big is the podium, and do you wear red ties, or does she wear a blue suit? And
all those things.
All that crazy stuff they negotiate over. How much water do you put on? Can you take notes? Can you bring notes out with you? Those negotiations have to take place. He has told me 2 weeks ago he wants me and Paul Manafort to negotiate the terms of the debate. He's told us the things that are critical to him. None of them have to do with not debating. There are things that he thinks are important to him and fair to him. None of them are unusual or unprecedented. They're things that have been done before. So I see no reason why they're not going to be debates. I believe that the debates are critical for him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I believe he needs to go above the press and talk directly to the people. There was once a headline in Newsday when I was mayor. It was called Air Mayor. And Newsday had actually figured out my strategy. After 12 months of being viciously criticized by the New York Times in particular and the liberal media in New York, they figured out my strategy. I was on radio and television so often that I was delivering my own message to people because I didn't want the New York Times saying, the angry mayor, the mean mayor, the mean mayor trying to take people off welfare and requiring them to work.
You'll always be your best advocate. That's why we offer this platform to all the candidates, including Trump. I would encourage you to encourage him to come back.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to encourage him to come back on this show with you.
Good.
Because he is his best advocate when he gets to explain it for himself.
No, I have said that myself.
And Air Trump should be part of the strategy.
New Day is an open forum for that's why it's called, relevant people.
It's also called New Day. We can have a new day. We
thank
can start
you very
over.
Much. You got it.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for being
always
with us.
Always a pleasure.
As always.
Always a pleasure, and you're always fair.
Appreciate it.
Tough, fair.